I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear brothers and viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back to another episode. You're watching this program. Please make sure you stay tuned and watch this program till the end because we have an exciting program ready for you, inshallah. We have story time. That's the main part of the program where we normally select some interesting stories to share with our viewers. And then we have a segment called Islamic Manners. And then Islamic ruling and also Sunnah lifestyle. So we've got plenty of segments to look out for, inshallah. So please make sure you stay tuned or watch this program till the end. Let's carry on with our program today. We have another guest in the house. Let's see who that is. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What's your name?
Muhammad Hassan Raza.
Muhammad Hassan Raza, mashallah, welcome to I Love Islam program. And how are you finding it today?
Very good. I'm really excited.
You're really excited, mashallah. I like that. I like excitement. I like passion, mashallah. By the way, we need to start moving on with the program. But before we do that, should we not listen to a naat? Yes, come on then. Let's listen to a naat. Hassan Raza, would you like to read a naat to us?
Sure.
Subhanallah, which naat are you going to read to us today?
Anku Katara.
Wow, that's a beautiful kalam. Come on children, if you're watching this program, make sure you join in. Come on then, let's get a move on.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah, sallam alayka ya Habiballah, anku katara name Muhammad, anku katara name Muhammad, dil ka ujala name Muhammad, puchega maula laya hai kya kya, puchega maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga, main ye kahunga name Muhammad, main ye kahunga name Muhammad, aankhon ka tara name Muhammad, dil ka ujala name Muhammad, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa, kar lo wazifa name Muhammad, kar lo wazifa name Muhammad, aankhon ka tara name Muhammad, dil ka ujala name Muhammad, Nuh Khalil Musa Isa, Nuh Khalil Musa Isa, سب کا ہے آقا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤ اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤ جس نے سکھایا نام محمد جس نے سکھایا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد اپنے جمیل رضوی کے دل میں اپنے جمیل رضوی کے دل میں آجا سما جا نام محمد آجا سما جا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
MashaAllah, that was awesome. SubhanAllah, well done. Hassan Raza, you've enlightened our hearts. MashaAllah, we're all excited. Alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala reward you abundantly and may you keep reciting Naat of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. My dear brothers and viewers of I Love Islam, now it's time to move on to our first segment, Story Time.
I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Story Time, and today we are going to talk about Ashabul Fil. Now, what is that name? Maybe a lot of you will be hearing this name for the first time. What is this name? What is it all about? What are we going to talk about? Should I tell you? We're going to talk about someone called Mahmood. Now you need to watch this whole program to know who Mahmood is. We're going to talk about Mahmood. Yes, but let's go back. Let's go to right back just before the blessed birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Around 50 days before. This was an incident that took place with regards to this king called Abraha, and there were elephants involved in this incident, and also there was a flock of birds. So I want you to remember these three key words that we're going to talk about in the story. Okay, we're going to talk about King Abraha and elephants, flock of birds, and the Holy Kaaba, the Holy Kaaba Sharif. So these are key words that we are going to talk about today in the story. Now let's start from beginning. Abraha was the king of Yemen and Habsha. He was a king and he was not a Muslim, and he built a church in one of the city, and he desired that loads of people, thousands of people go there for the Hajj, for the pilgrimage. He thought, I want to build something in my own city so that people come to me. Why do people go there? I want people to come to me. So he decided to build a big church, and he wanted people to be attracted towards that. He wanted people to leave the Holy Kaaba and turn towards his church and come there and perform this pilgrimage and do tawaf, etc. So he built this church. And what happened? Those people, especially the people of Quraysh, those people in the Arab, now obviously for them it's a great honor that most people from different parts of the world, they are coming to Makkah, to Makkatul Mukarramah, and performing the tawaf of the Holy Kaaba. It's a great honor. It's a great blessing. So when they heard that this King Abraha has built a big church in his city, one of them people, he decided that something has to be done. So he entered the city where the King Abraha had built a church. Now, when he went there, he did, I don't know how to say it, but he urinated and did the number two. He did the poo in the church. Now what's happened? The King Abraha made an oath. He said, now whatever happens, I'm going to go and demolish the Holy Kaaba. Now he was so angry. So before this, he just wanted people to come to his city rather than going to Holy Kaaba. But now after this incident, he became so angry and furious. And he decided that I'm going to go to Mecca and I'm going to demolish the Holy Kaaba. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Now with this intention, this King Abraha, he got together his huge army and he left onto that mission that he's going to go to Mecca. And this army wasn't like a normal army. Remember, this we are talking about thousands of years ago. Yeah, over 1400 years. This army consisted of many elephants, and there was one of the elephants were unique, was different. It was gigantic, it was huge. And this elephant was called Mahmud. Remember, I was told you earlier, and I'm gonna talk about Mahmud today. It's not Uncle Mahmud, it's Elephant Mahmud. So there was this whole army. It had so many elephants, and they had obviously the rides, you know, the soldiers, they were there as well, and they were all traveling all on this journey. But there was one of them, the king, you can say the king elephant, whatever you want to call it, this gigantic elephant called Mahmud, was the leader of the pack. Abraha, he came and he attacked the beautiful city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And one of the first things that he did, he captured all the animals from the people of Makkah. Remember, people a lot of times, they used to have camels, they had goats, they had cattle. So King Abraha with his army, somehow he went and he captured so many cattle and camels and animals that people had. And this was to show, like, to scare them, to show an authority. He captured them. He was expecting a retaliation from the people of Mecca. And whilst this King Abraha, he got hold of the animals, these animals included the camels of Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the grandfather of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you can say, from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he captured their camels as well. So what happens next is, Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandfather of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who at that time was the custodian, he was like the caretaker, the main person who is managing and looking after the Holy Kaaba Sharif, and he was also the leader of the people of Mecca. And his animals have also been captured by the King Abraha. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a man of strong build, bearing sublime and awe-inspiring personality. He was a unique individual. No, he had authority. Subhanallah. So now, obviously, this huge incident has happened, and the people of Mecca are not going to be happy. So the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, decided to go and meet the King Abraha. When he radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached the Abraha, as a coincidence, the king treated him with great respect and inquired from him, "What makes you come here?" Now he thought, you know, this honorable gentleman, he's going to talk about the animals and the destruction that we're going to do. We're going to demolish the Holy Kaaba. He's going to talk about this and he's going to try to find a way out. However, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to the king and said to him, "You have captured my camels. Can you please release them and give them back to me?" The king was surprised. Can you believe it, Hasan Reza? Just imagine the king has reached the city and he's come with that intent. And he is furious, he's so angry, and he's here to demolish the Holy Kaaba. And the person who's the custodian, he's the main management looking after the Holy Kaaba Sharif. And he's also the leader of the people of Quraysh, of people of Makkah. And he's now reached, and he went to see the king. And instead of telling him, "Please don't demolish the Holy Kaaba, don't, you know, we don't want any bloodshed here," instead of talking about that, this great individual, he talks about his own animals. What will the king be thinking there? What do you think?
It's a bit weird because he's going to be thinking that he's come here to stop me to stop me from demolishing the Kaaba, but he's just asking for his animals.
All the kids who are watching this program, this is a very important part to keep in mind now. Look what happens next. So, when the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ asked him, "Can you please release my camels?" The king was surprised. He thought, "What's going on? You know, you've only come here to ask about your camels. Is that it? What about the Holy Kaaba?" And Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "I am the owner of the camels only. The camels belong to me. I own them. So I'm the owner of the camels. That's the reason I've come to ask about the camels. However, the one who is the owner of the Kaaba, he is the one who will protect it. He himself will protect it." That was an amazing answer. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that was very amazing.
SubhanAllah. He said, "Look, I own the camels. That's why I need to, you know, I'm asking about it. But the Holy Kaaba, I don't own it. I'm a caretaker. I service here. I look after it. I clean it. I make sure I manage the system there. However, the owner is the one who is the owner," which he is referring to Allah. "And Allah himself will protect it. So he has no worry." So now his camels were returned back to him. So the king Abraha has given the camels. Now Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu returns to the people of Quraysh. And now he tells everyone to go to the top of the mountains. Everyone run and hide. Take refuge. Save yourself, because Abraha and the army are coming to attack this place. So he took all the people of Quraysh to the top and the hills, and they went to hide, and people followed his instructions. However, once everyone was in a safe place, after this, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came back and he held the door of the Holy Kaaba and he cried, "Thou know who else is there? It's the grandfather, honorable grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Holy Kaaba is in front of him. And he holds on, he clings to the door of the Kaaba. And he asks in the court of Allah, "Oh Rabb, Ya Allah, please protect the Holy Kaaba." He's crying. He's shedding tears. And he's asking Allah Azza wa Jal for the protection. Allahu Akbar. After this dua that Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes in the court of Allah subhanAllah. Can you believe it? You know, someone who is the caretaker of the Holy Kaaba, and now on the other side is a whole army ready to attack. And he's got nothing else in defense. Because on the apparent side, he's going to lose out. And there's going to be bloodshed. The Holy Kaaba could be demolished. And he loves the Holy Kaaba. And now he asked, he knew in his heart that it is Allah who can save this. It is Rabb. He turns towards Allah and he asks Allah, Ya Allah, you are the one. You are the one who is most praiseworthy. Ya Allah, you are the one who can protect. Ya Allah, please protect. And he cried and made sincere dua. SubhanAllah, just imagine the moments, the special moments when the honorable grandfather of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua in the court of Allah, SubhanAllah. And these, the tears that Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu shed, these came into hand. And he radiallahu ta'ala anhu went back and joined the rest of the people on the top of the hills. Now what happens? It's the early hours of the morning. Abraha, he gathered his army and he ordered an attack on the sacred Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. Just imagine that day. Yeah, that day when this man, this king, how arrogant and rude and this person was, that he had no respect. He ordered his army to attack the Holy Kaaba. He stood the elephants in order to move. However, the leader of the elephants, Mahmud, who was the biggest of all, did not move towards the Holy Kaaba. He just stayed in one place. And they tried to move him forward. He would not move. He would not go towards the Holy Kaaba. As if this elephant Mahmud, he knew that these people are up to something evil. That he's not ready to be involved. He thought, man, that's wrong. He said, no, I'm not going. This elephant remained in its place. However, the interesting part was, whenever they moved the animal in other direction, whenever they moved Mahmud in right and left and behind other directions, it would move. It would listen to them. But whenever they turn the elephant towards the Holy Kaaba, it will stop again. Now the king and everyone else, they were shocked. They didn't know what's going on. Now, each time they tried to move him towards the Holy Kaaba, he would just sit down in his place. He wouldn't move. Allahu Akbar. Whilst this is happening, whilst the king is a bit confused and the army there, they didn't know what to do. To try to figure out what's happening, Allah Azza wa Jal, the protector of the Holy Kaaba, Allahu Akbar, sent a flock of birds from the sea. So many birds came. These birds were called Ababil. These birds were called Ababil. They were small birds. They were special birds that came from the sea. And Hasan Raza, each bird, it was holding pebbles, like small stones, and one on each of the toes and one on the beak. So three, each bird would have three stones or pebbles that it was holding. And the flock of Ababil, they hailed down the stones with so much intensity, with speed, that the army of Abraha lost their consciousness and started running away. Can you believe some animals, some birds, they just fly over and they throw stones? How powerful will that them stones be?
Plus they're very small as well.
Very small.
And it wouldn't really hurt.
You know, what impact could they have? Remember this, Hasan Raza, what we need to realize, these stones were not normal stones. These birds were not normal birds. They were sent for a special mission. Remember, Abraha came with an evil intention. And as the protector of the Holy Kaaba, the Rabb, Allah Azza wa Jal, sent the army of birds, Ababil, who had small pebbles in the paws and the beak, 3 pebbles each. They had them and they sent these pebbles down. They threw them at the army. And these were very small in size, but the impact was severe. They were like bullets, if you want to call it. They were like bullets. Remember, at that time, there was not a concept of, you know, people used to fight with swords. There was no guns, there were no bullets, there were no bombs that people have in battles. So this battle from the birds was, they were like bullets, you can say. They were so powerful. Subhanallah, or the scholars have written that when these ababil, these small birds, when they sent down these pebbles, the pebbles penetrated the elephant riders across their metal helmets. So these soldiers who had steel armor around their body, this pebble would come and it would go straight through. Can you believe it? Small pebbles sitting straight through like a bullet. And these people will fall off their bodies. No, they would die. They would die. They will fall off. They'll get onto the ground. The name of every target, this was interesting part, the name of every target was inscribed on the pebble. So that pebble that was being thrown, it had the name of the person that's going to hit. Allahu Akbar. These were not small or normal animals. These were not normal birds. And one by one, these pebbles killed the soldiers of King Abraha. They were all demolished. They were destroyed. And this is how the whole army of Abraha was destroyed and the holy Kaaba was protected. Allahu Akbar. The holy Kaaba was protected by the flock, by the army of birds that sent down pebbles. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. My dear brothers, this incident that happened, this is marked down in history. This is marked down. This is called the year of elephants. In history, it is known as the year of elephants. And in fact, now when we look at the history of when did this occur, it is mentioned in the commentary of the Quran that the blessed birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place around 50 days after this incident. So it was near the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just about around 50 days before. This incident is not just something that has been, some people think, where did they get that from? So many years ago, how do we know this incident happened? You know how important this incident is? As Muslims, we need to be aware of this. This incident is so important, and we need to be aware of this because this incident has actually been mentioned in the glorious Quran. Can you believe it? This incident about the army of birds, you know, throwing these pebbles down towards the king of Abraha, this waqia, this account has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. In fact, there is one surah of the Quran which has been named as Fil. Suratul Fil, the surah of elephant. Allahu Akbar. And this is in the 30th part of the Holy Quran. I'm going to read this to you now. I'm going to recite the, this is short surah, and I'm going to read this to you, and let's look at the translation. You will realize, subhanallah, that this waqia has been mentioned in the glorious Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول صدق الله العظيم.
Let's quickly look at the translation. The translation is from Kanzul Iman of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatul Rahman. O beloved, this refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O beloved, did you not see how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephant? Did he not put their trick into devastation and sent swarms of birds over them, striking them with the stones of baked clay. So he made them like the leftover consumed leaves of harvest. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, from this incident we learn that the responsibility of safeguarding the sacred Kaaba also rests with Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is Allah, it is Rabb who will look after, who will look after and protect the holy Kaaba. Therefore, no one on the face of earth or anywhere from the creation can ever destroy the holy Quran, nor can it destroy the holy Kaaba Sharif, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the protector and the defender of both. Subhanallah. My dear brother, this is a beautiful sign of Allah. Those who are watching this program and who have not chosen a faith, who are studying Islam, from this incident you learn the great sign of the Almighty of Allah. Therefore, why don't you come towards Islam? Why don't you enter Islam and become a Muslim? Because Islam is the beautiful way of life. Islam is the truth. Islam is the religion that will take you towards the paradise. So if you're watching this program and you've not chosen a faith, you are considering Islam, I'll say to you, why take a long? Make that step, take that decision, become a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, you are watching this beautiful program, I Love Islam, and you hear these beautiful teachings of Islam. My dear brothers and viewers on Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, today we had this opportunity to listen to a great story, which is called the story of the elephant. SubhanAllah, I hope you enjoyed it, hope you liked it, and most importantly, I hope you learned the lessons from it as well. By the way, we've got a package of Kaniz Fatima ready as well. But what we'll do, we'll play that later on, inshallah. But now, let's move on to our next segment. Can you remind me what's the next segment, anyone? The next segment is called Islamic Manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Islamic manners. What do you think when you hear the word, can you please be humble? What do you understand from this?
I think it means like a good person, kind and like a very gentle person. And he listens to everyone and he's just a good person.
MashaAllah, it's quite right. Quite right. When you hear the word humble, be humble. And you could say it means like, don't be a person who's arrogant, who's showing off, he has pride in him and he thinks I'm bigger than everyone else. I'm big and hard, being arrogant. So opposite of this is being humble, being simple. Lowering yourself down, yeah, not thinking that you are bigger than other people. You, in a way, you're giving respect to other people. You know, if someone, you know, is bigger than you in age, you're honoring that person. If you have a teacher, you are respecting the teachers. You're respecting the parents. You are being humble in front of them, and that's important. Today, because in this segment we talk about Islamic manners, and being humble is one of the beautiful characteristics that you could adopt. Can you give me an example of where someone should be humble?
Like, for example, if someone is being mean to you and you be humble back to him, he might change his mind and be humble back to you again, and then you might become friends and he might be like you and he might change his way of being arrogant instead of being humble now.
MashaAllah, that's something very beautiful that you pointed out. Not in life, you meet all sort of people. You meet nice people, you meet nasty people, okay? You meet all sort of people. And if you turns out that you met someone not speaking nicely to you, he's being mean to you, they're being rude to you, and, you know, you either you've done something wrong or not, regardless of that, they're being rude to you. And you know, if you are humble and instead of being angry, instead of letting all out and, you know, splashing everything, you're being humble, you're controlling yourself, and you're not showing off. And this thing could have an impact on that person. Thinks, you know what, I'm trying to tease this person, I'm trying to make him angry, and he's quiet. You know what, one day, you know, that person will be forced to think, you know, what's going on? You know, why am I doing this to that person? He's a nice person. Yeah. So this is a good example. Well, I think another example of this would be, say, someone who's got a talent. Now, from his friends, he's a Hafiz. He's memorized the Quran. And the rest of his friends, they're not Hafiz. Now, sometimes this Hafiz might think, you know what? I'm the Hafiz. I've learned the Quran. They don't know how to read the Quran. Now, that's the time to be humble. You should be thankful and grateful that you are Hafiz of the Quran. Instead of being arrogant and showing off, you should put yourself down. And have respect for other people as well. Now, don't think you're better than other people. You never know, other people, they might do something that they might be more closer to Allah. And you being a Hafiz and you being arrogant and pride, and you're having pride, this could, you know, destroy you in the Akhirah. So one place where you could be humble is when you have this Islamic talent, you have the skill, and you know, people look up to you, people respect you, maybe you're a good speaker, you're a beautiful Naat reciter, you recite the Quran eloquently, you've got a good mind, people respect you for that. You know, if you have like higher skills than other people, that's the time to be humble. Instead of showing off, instead of like trying to, you know, like portray yourself that I'm the cleverest here, I'm the best here, you guys don't know anything. Yeah, that's not the way of Islam. We need to understand the mizaj, the preference of Islam. So, you know, as a Muslim, we should try to understand the preference. What does Islam prefer? Islam prefers for us to be humble, to put yourself down, to lower yourself down. Never think high in front of other people. You always look down. Look at your own mistakes. Yeah, remember your mistakes and make tawbah, ask Allah for forgiveness. And that's so one example here was, the one place that I mentioned was where you should show humility. And give me another example where you can show humility. Come on, have a wild guess.
Like, wherever you are, you should be humble.
All the time. So if you're walking, you're going to school, you're coming back from school, yeah, you know, the way you walk, yeah, your style of walking, that should have humility. It should be simple. Don't walk with, you know, like your shoulders moving like this, you're showing off and being hard and you're trying to scare the people. It shouldn't be like that. Be humble. Be walk gently. Yeah. But what I was referring to, another place where we all should show humility is when we are in the state of namaz. When you are reciting Quran, when you are in the state of namaz, when you are raising your hands in the court of Allah, it's the time for making dua. You're asking Allah Azza wa Jal for mercy, for blessings, for happiness, for protection from evil. So when you're making dua in the court of Allah, every single person, you know, we all should be humble. Yeah, we need to blow ourselves down and go to the reality that we are not worthy of this. We've done so much wrong. We've been disobedient to Allah. And we need to, you know, be humble and be sincere and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness. That's a beautiful moment where we could become humble. Another place where we should be humble is when you're in front of parents. You know, have you ever heard or know like this kids, you know, who speak like arrogantly from the parents? Does that happen?
That's really bad, and a lot of people do it because they think it's all right and they think they're bigger and stronger than their parents and their parents can't do anything.
Do you really think like 10-year-old, he thinks he's bigger than his dad?
Well, he's not really, but he thinks he is because it's just because he's learn like in school, they mess about a lot and
so
friends.
So that means that we do have this issue in our society where children, teenagers, sons and daughters, they are being arrogant. And because maybe their parents, you know, you become an adult yourself and your parents may not be educated the way you think. Yeah, they've not gone to college or university and you've got the degree and now you think you're bigger than, you're more clever, you're more intelligent than the parents and you speak arrogantly. That's not right. Remember this, your mom and dad, when you're in front of them, you always be humble. Simple. There's no second say. Yeah, when you're in front of your mom, you need to be humble. Show humility. That's not a place to show your talent. That's not a place to show your arrogance and pride. Always be humble. Yeah, the way they speak to you, the way you know they react. You know, if parents have desired something, then you should try to fulfill their desires. Make them happy. Make them proud. Yeah, don't be rude to them. You know, who are you? Who are you to shout at them? Yeah, you're nothing. Come on. Be real. They're your mom and dad. You must respect them. That's a place to be humble. What about in schools? Schools, you know, with your teachers.
Yeah, in school, you should be humble as well. Because in school, people talk back to the teachers. And it's just because there's like these friends in school. And like people call the popular students who mess about a lot, talk back. And they don't care about their work because they don't really care about education.
Right, the viewers of Madani Channel, we have a surprise package for you. We've got Kaniz Fatima in I Love Islam program. Let's go and watch Kaniz Fatima and see what lessons we can learn. So everyone, please watch this properly and then you need to tell us what we learn from this short clip.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl.
Kaniz
good
Fatima,
girl. Everyone loves her.
Ooh.
She is truthful. Everyone loves her. She is truthful. She shows the wrong and enjoys the right.
Ice cream man is here. Ice cream man is here. Come and get your ice cream before it runs out. Sweet and fresh ice cream is here. The ice cream man is here. Come and get your tasty ice cream.
Ice cream.
It's coming quickly. Buy it before it runs out. Your sweet, tasty and fresh ice cream is here. Buy it before it runs out. Hurry, hurry, before it runs out. Your favorite ice cream is here.
Excuse me.
Yes, my dear.
Assalamualaikum, uncle.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Can I please have an ice cream, uncle?
Sure.
Chocolate flavor, please.
Did you come on your own?
Yes, uncle, I just live there.
Alright then, here you go. Be careful, dear.
Wow, chocolate ice cream, yum.
Excuse me, can you help me, please?
The summary of the hadith of the final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is that the one who respects his elders, meaning honors them, shows them reverence, will be with me in paradise. Raika! Raika? Raika? I don't know where she's gone. Raika? 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 Oh no! Why is the front door open? That's not a very good sign. Where is Raika gone? I'm so worried for her.
It's going to be so much fun today. We'll play games with Raika. We'll have a party and loads of fun. What do you say, Barira?
Yes, that's right. We'll play all day long and have loads of fun.
Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Did you guys see Raika anywhere?
We just got here. Our dad just dropped us off now.
Oof.
Why, sis? What's wrong?
I'm looking for Raika. I just don't know where she's gone.
Where could she be? Where could she go?
I think that she's been kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
Haven't you heard that? The children that go out of the house without informing anyone,
Raika?
Someone kidnaps them and takes them away.
Then what happens?
The kidnapper then asks for loads of money.
I've got £10 with me.
Yes, I also have 5 pounds with me.
Rika!
Oh, that's okay then. We'll free up Rika. After all, she's our friend.
Sister, we both have 15 pounds on us. Don't worry, we will pay and set Rika free.
What's wrong with you, Ariba? What are you saying?
I feel as if Rika has been kidnapped, and kidnappers take children away and then offer loads of money to set children free.
Allahu Akbar! Ariba, what are you saying?
May Allah forbid! Rika must be somewhere around here. And Barira, remember, no one should say such kind of things. This is not good at all. Instead of this, we should say, may Allah forbid, as we seek refuge with Allah. Ariba, the summary of a hadith is that never a bad statement should be uttered from your mouth. So in the light of this hadith, we should always think positive. Negative thinking spreads fear amongst us, and it also makes us extremely restless and anxious.
Sure, sis. It won't happen again.
But we'll have to take this very seriously.
That's true.
Ganesh Fatima, what's wrong? Why are you calling out for Rika?
Dad, I don't know where's Rika gone. She's not inside the house. And the main gate is also open.
Oh no. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah make it easy. Have a look around. She must be somewhere here.
Dad, me, Ariba and Barira have searched through the whole house.
That's right, Uncle.
Yes, Uncle. We also look for her everywhere.
Is it possible that Rika has gone with Brother Ghulam Rasool?
No, Kanis Fatma. I sent Ghulam Rasool somewhere for some work. And it's been quite some time since he's gone. You guys stay in the house. I'll go out and have a look.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
You seem so worried, Brother Ahmed. Is everything all right?
We can't find Rika. We don't know where she's gone. We've looked everywhere, but we can't find her.
Rika? I saw Rika standing next to Ice Cream Man.
What? Where did you see the Ice Cream Man?
He was standing in front of your house.
Allah forbid in case.
Well, don't worry. Quickly, call police.
In a rush, I forgot my phone at home. Let me go back home and ring them.
Okay.
Dad, did you find her anything?
No, my dear. I'm about to ring the police now. Uncle Babu saw her standing next to the ice cream man.
Rika also loves to eat ice cream, isn't it?
Oh Allah, make dua in your court that please save Rika.
The danger keeps increasing. Make sure you keep your money safe.
Yes, that's right. I have 10 pounds.
Rika's back! Rika's back! Yeah, everyone, Rika's back! Rika's back!
Where did you go, my sweetheart? How worried we all got.
Nowhere, Dad. I didn't go anywhere.
Rika, you weren't here. Tell us quickly now. Where did you go?
Dad, I brought her from the next street.
Rika, what did you go over there for?
Actually, I went to get some ice cream. And what happened then was...
Can you help me, please? Do you know where Brother Amjad's house is?
The one with the yellow gate.
Jazakallah.
How cute this puppy is. Let me play with it a little bit.
Oh no, my ice cream!
Where are you going? Give me back my ice cream!
Stop now, you naughty puppy!
Give me back my ice cream!
That's my ice cream! Why are you taking it?
Stop now!
I'm not letting you go and escape!
Come out now!
You stole my ice cream!
What do I do to you now? You're in a big trouble!
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Rika, what are you doing on your own here?
Oh, it's you. I'm sorry, brother. The puppy snatched my ice cream.
But where is the puppy?
Look, there he is.
Oho. Rika, I'll buy you another one. For now, come home with me. Everyone would be getting worried for you.
All right, then.
Rika, you have no idea how worried we all got. The children who go out of their house on their own without informing their elders, anyone can kidnap them.
Allah forbid, Dad. What are you saying?
May Allah always protect you. But remember, you should never leave the house on your own without informing an elder.
I'm sorry, Dad. I won't do this ever again.
That's good. She's back now. And our 15 pounds are safe as well.
That's true.
With the same money, we can also eat ice cream.
Dear children, wherever we may be, we should make sure that we don't leave the house without informing our elders. And whenever we go out, we should either go with our elder brother or our dad. And whenever we face any difficulties, then instead of creating a scene, we should be patient and find a good solution for it. And remember Allah Almighty. Because Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. perfection of hearts.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, that was Kaniz Fatima giving us very important lessons. Now we need to move on swiftly to our final segment of the day, which is called Sunnah Lifestyle.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Today's topic is looking smart and clean. Subhanallah, what a beautiful topic. That's a lot of people work on, don't they? They spend, sometimes boys do it as well, don't they? They stand out in front of the mirror and they spend so long to make sure they look smart and clean. Yeah, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. But today's topic is regarding Sunnah lifestyle. As a Muslim, it is important for us to know that we must remain clean. There's so much importance and significance of being clean and being in the state of purity. Islamic hygiene has great importance. So therefore, it's important. So your clothing, they must be clean. Your face should be washed regularly. Your hair should be tidy. If you can, oil the hair as well. So you know, being clean, yeah, this is important. Oh, you know, we see loads of kids, especially, I don't know what to say. Should I say when they go to masjid? Some kids, when they go and then they probably wore that socks like good 5 days now and they're not taking it off. And they come to masjid and someone who's next to them and they're struggling to breathe. Yeah, does that happen? Come on, I said, be honest.
I think, yeah, it's happened. It happened to me a few times as well. Like if people next to me, it's hard to breathe. And what's it called? It's not...
How do you tell a person, brother, can you take your socks off?
It's hard to tell him because it's going to hurt his feelings. But it's haram to enter the mosque with a bad smell.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, Hasan Raza's toes, a very beautiful lesson there. As a Muslim, it is important to keep in mind the dignity and honor of masjid. We have to respect the masjid. We have to keep foul smell, bad smell away from the masjid. And if your socks do smell and you've been wearing it for so long, or you wore it on the same day but you've been playing sports and there's so much sweat and it stinks, if you're going to masjid, take it off. And by the way, if that's the case, when you get to the door of the masjid, the main gate, and you're that shoe rack area, and if your socks, you think that you know they were smelling, you took your socks off, but then go to the wuzu area and wash your feet as well. Yeah, not just taking your socks off will solve the problem. Well, the smell will be sticking. It will be stuck on your feet as well. So it needs to be clean. Yeah. What about them kids? You know, when they go to play football, so the mom, they get the beautiful clothes ready for them, and the kids go out to play sports, and they mess their clothes up. And what do you think, you know, when they come home, and they play football, and then all the clothes are dirty now with mud, and when they come home, like, you know, what will the parents do?
It's hard for the parents because they give, like, very nice clothes to their children to wear, and then when they come back, they mess it all up, and the parents, they don't say it to the children, but they feel, like, heartbroken, and then they have to clean it as well, and it takes their time, and it's very hard for them to do it.
Allahu Akbar. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and keep you well. Inshallah Azawajal, we'll be back with I Love Islam. And until then, look after yourself, keep well, and wait for the next program. Inshallah, something exciting will be coming. Inshallah Azawajal. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu Ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.